So most of you guys know that for a long time I was a youth pastor, and the focus of youth pastor ministry, when I was doing it at least, was it was really focused on initial commitment to come and follow Jesus. In fact, we would say it was focused on getting the young people to pray the sinner's prayer. Have you guys heard that term, the sinner's prayer? This is a very good thing, the sinner's prayer is. It's the ABCs of faith. You guys remember right here, I have it behind us. This is the cornerstone of Christianity. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe Jesus has paid for your sins on the cross. Okay, so we're admitting we have problems and we've made mistakes that have hurt people. And then we believe that Jesus has paid for our mistakes on the cross. And then you confess that Jesus is now my Lord. Thank you for dying for me. And now I will live for you. These are the ABCs of faith. And we were excited, really excited about helping young people to pray a simple prayer, something like, Lord, thank you for dying for my sins. I've really messed up, but you sent Jesus to pay the penalty. And so now I want to live for you. Okay? The ABCs of faith. I think this is all really good stuff. Actually, every year, the focus would be on helping a young person to meet the Lord. And so about five of us every year would have this big summer camp. And during the summer camp, there'd be loads of games up in the mountains. And then in the evenings each day, we would have time with God. And someone would speak for a while. And then on the last day of the camp, the pastor who was leading it would say, who would like to meet Jesus? We'd have the big altar call. So you could, this is the big altar call right here. Come to the front if you want to meet Jesus and pray the sinner's prayer. And so I watched something like 200 some odd children over the years pray the sinner's prayer, okay? Which is exciting and a good thing. But you know what? Over the years, I watched those 200 kids make a commitment to Jesus. And I can tell you that maybe at least half of them then went on to lose their faith in university. So it wasn't that the commitment was bad. It was that something more was needed too. Yeah, there was that one moment where each of us surrender to the Lord. If you've not surrendered your life to the Lord, that's the first step. But you need more, right? There's something more that has to happen. Otherwise, maybe down the road, you decide, well, the world isn't into this, and I'm not really into this anymore either. Maybe there was just a bit too much focus on that first moment of commitment and not as much on the follow-up, which is the rest of our lives, right? And we've had the series, what do we do now, right? What do we do now that we've met the Lord? Do we just go on doing the same thing that we did before? Well, maybe it's a bit different. Now, as we open our Bible, we're looking at Paul's first missionary journey. It's actually the first missionary journey ever, okay? And it's like it's nearly done. He's gone through basically Turkey. If you wonder what this first mission trip is about, he went through Turkey, okay? It wasn't called Turkey at that point. It was called something else. But he went through that area. And there are all these people who have never heard a thing about God. And by the end of this, they say, yes, I believe in Jesus, okay? And they side with Paul. And now they're new believers. And the question is, does Paul say, well, I went there and I preached, done and dusted, I'm off. Is that what is needed? You know, just tell them the word and the message once and then just leave them and go, yeah? And what we're going to see is that they need something more. They need more than just that one moment. They need to become mature and to grow, and so more is needed for them. So our big idea this morning, initial commitment is great. And if you haven't committed to Christ, I want you to. Then God wants you to. Come to him as soon as possible. But more is needed. We need to keep growing in Jesus. And we need to help one another grow in his love too. We need to keep growing in Jesus. God has a will for your life. Have you met the Lord? Wonderful. God has a will for your life. keep growing in the grace of God and help others grow too. So we're in Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And let's start by thinking about how Paul and Barnabas are going to return for the growth and for the benefit of those who've already received the good news. Verse 21 of chapter 14. It's on page 1109. This is what it says. They preached the gospel in that city, and they won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. The Antioch is not the Antioch that they started in, by the way. There's two cities named Antioch, and this is one in Turkey. There's another one in Syria, okay? So this is a different place. All right, so just really quickly, Paul didn't just evangelize, he discipled, and he didn't just go once, he returned, okay? He didn't just go once, he returned. Now, here when it says that they won many disciples, really bad translation. It doesn't say anything about winning disciples there. It just says they discipled many people is what it says. They discipled many people. And so that brings up something very interesting. It looks like the king of evangelism, as it were, is actually not just doing evangelism. He's discipling. That is growing somebody up into the grace of God. Discipling is very important. What happens when someone becomes a believer? It's like they're a newborn baby, right? And so we ask the question, somebody gives birth, do they then say, well, this has been a trying experience, now somebody else take over for the rest of this, right? I'm done now with the birthing, somebody else take this child. Is that what we are to do? No, we nurture and grow people up into God's grace. And so salvation is the beginning of a journey. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, go into all the world and evangelize. No, he didn't say that, actually. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. And so sometimes we like to divide things up. You have the gift of evangelism, so you go do that thing. That's scary to me. And I have the gift of being nice to people or being hospitable. And this guy over here is a good discipler, so he can do that, and that person over there enjoys being entertained, so they can sit and be entertained. You know, is that what God wants? Well, no, God wants us to be holistic. He wants us to go and help someone meet the Lord, and then to grow them up, and that's all part of making disciples. And so it's evangelism, but it's also more. And so what this means, actually, if you are scared of doing evangelism, like I am, okay? It actually is quite holistic because it's more than just, like, you're not just going to drop in, like you're a ninja, you know? You just come in and just say the hard words and then you just leave and somebody else cleans up the mess, right? So you say, Jesus is Lord, you need him. You better turn to him because he loves you, and then you just leave and you go. Actually, it's more like leading people into a journey. And you're going with them on the journey. Here's the good news about Jesus. Now that you receive that, let me help you grow to the next place. I'll go with you to the next place. We talked about this a lot. Whenever we have Alpha, right? People come to Alpha because they are invited by somebody, specifically invited by that person. And they think to themselves, I would never go to this group, but actually such and such invited me, right? And then if that such and such doesn't really care about it and doesn't care about them going, you know what happens? They don't go anymore. But if you say, hey, I'm going to go to a few alphas and then I'm going to drop out because I've already done this course, but then you check up with them. Yeah, how's it going? How's your faith? You know, the weirdest thing happened. I think I kind of believe it. Oh, really? Let's have coffee. Let's talk about this. We go with them. And so they need more. Paul evangelizes, but also he is making disciples. It's not just a one-off. We're going on a journey. And that makes it easier, doesn't it? Because it's not anonymous. It's something that we do together. We're all going towards Jesus together. We're growing in God's grace. And so Paul and Barnabas decide to return here. It says, before we're done with our mission trip, we need to return. And they go to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And that's really quite extraordinary. Why is it extraordinary? Actually, hit the next slide. Well, this is why. They were expelled from all of the places that they just now are about to return to. They've been driven out of all of these cities by people who were hostile to them, and it was progressively worse, actually. So the first one, they were just driven out, and it wasn't too bad. The next one, their deaths were being plotted. In the third one, the death was actually trying to enact it. They tried to stone Paul. They stoned him. They thought he was dead with rocks. They tried to stone him with rocks. They thought he was dead, and he wasn't, and he got up, and he left the city afterwards. And so they experienced heavy-duty persecution. And it's not exactly fond memories. And yet they go back. And why? Because we have starving children. They need food. That's why. We have people who need God's love and God's grace. And so we're going to go back. And they're going to speak about suffering in a minute here, interestingly enough. We're going back. We know we're going to suffer. But it's okay. Again, here's another map of the whole thing. And so you can see this is the first missionary journey, and hopefully that's something like Turkey up there, okay, that they're going. And you notice right here, we pick up in Derbe, okay? And then, you know, you see you have to go back to Antioch. What is the quickest route back to Antioch? Isn't it over that little mountain set there? Like, that would be the quick way, you know, just take out a map and draw the line, and you know you're going to be there in no time. And what do? They circle back around and they go all throughout the area that they had been in, and they go back to the people that they had told the good news to and said, how can we be of help? How can your faith be established? So they went back for their growth. And you need to return too. Do you know somebody that has started in faith and you don't know exactly where they are now, and you're kind of hoping that they're still walking, but you're not checking on them, partially out of fear maybe? They need you. They need you to call and say something like, hey, how's your faith going? Can I have coffee? Can I talk with you? How are things going? I want to know where you're at. So keep growing. Help others grow too. Now let's think about steps of growth. Looking back at the end of verse 21, we're picking up in verse 21, the second part again. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and, with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So these words are a great sum of what growth looks like, how we should be growing, and how we should be helping others to grow. Really good things here. And so let's look at all these elements, and I have them all up here so that you can reference them as we go along. The first thing they do is they go and they strengthen these churches. You cannot do all that God has for you today. You don't have the strength yet to do and to go and to be all that you are meant to be. And others must strengthen you, and God must strengthen you, and you must let him strengthen you. It's going to be a work that is done in you. Nobody goes and bench presses twice their weight the first time that they lift barbells. It's just not going to happen. And you're not ready for all that is coming. And you need everyone, and everyone needs you. We all need each other, and we will strengthen one another in the grace of God. They go and they strengthen each other. Now, on my plane flight back, in case everybody doesn't know, yesterday I was in the air, and I got home early yesterday morning, and it was a rough trip. More about that in a minute. But as we were getting off the plane, actually, before we got off the plane, I noticed that the stewardess came, and she looked very happy, and she came to the people directly in front of me sitting in their chairs, and she said, "Did you guys bring us candy?" And the two people there said, "Yeah, we bought you some candy." And they said, "We are just blown away. Why did you do this? You brought us..." See, nobody ever cares about stewardess, or they just say, bring my tea already, you know? And so these people had decided to get tea for the stewardess, or candy for the stewardess. And they were just amazed at this. And they came by 2-3 times to say thank you to this couple in front of me. Okay, so I thought that's very interesting as I was sitting there. And then when we got up to go, Ezra didn't sleep the entire flight, didn't sleep the previous flight, didn't sleep in the airport. It was 19 hours, okay? He's tired. And right at the end, he falls asleep as we're going to land, essentially. So the last 10 minutes of the flight, he was asleep. And so now my wife is carrying the sleeping child, and I've got to carry all of the stuff. And all the stuff is like 4 different bags, okay? So I have 4 bags on me, and Ezra and my wife are walking slowly behind me. She's walking with Ezra, slowly behind me. And as I'm going, people are kind of pushing me out of the way. A very British thing to do. Get out of the way. I'm going, right? Very American thing to do. Get out of the way. I've got places to go. What is your problem, right? So people are pushing me and just kind of getting around me and going as quick as I can. And that same couple, the young lady, turns around and says, "Oh, do you need help? Do you need help?" Listen, this is what God is calling us to do. Find the person that is weak and say, "I'll carry the load with you. I'll go with you. I'll help you." Do you know that people around you are really struggling? And they're trying to live out their faith. And do you know how they're struggling and how you could possibly help? You probably don't. I probably don't. But we should find out. And we should try to help. Not in an annoying way, in a caring way, in a loving way. Listen, somebody might really need you to say, "There's hope, and we can do what God wants, and we can receive his love together. Let's go." Second, they encouraged them. We need others to affirm us as we go through the difficult things in life. As we live our life of faith, we can't do it alone. We need somebody to come alongside and say, "I'm encouraged by you." I did athletics for a long time. I did a mile run, a half mile run, and a 3.5 mile run. The mile was the hardest one out of the bunch. You know, something that really helps you run a good race, somebody to cheer, okay? If you have somebody who shows up to your event to cheer, you're going to run harder because they're there, because they encourage you. Now, you might feel awkward about this, yeah? Like telling them they're doing good, that sounds weird. But so here's what I would say. Plan it out. Plan out precisely what you want to say. You can even write it down. I used to do that. Write it down so that you don't mess it up and doesn't sound too weird. And then just, you know, find a spot and a time and say, "You know, you did that," or "You're like this, and that inspires me." And you know what will happen? You will make their day is what will happen. They will think, "Whoa, I can't believe somebody encouraged me." They go back to encourage them. You have faith. You're going the right direction. Let's go. This is great. Let's make it. Let's let God's grace cover us. We're going towards Jesus. Encourage them. And what do they encourage them to do? It says, encourage them to remain true to the faith. They were encouraged to remain. That's our third thing. Encouraged to remain true to the faith. This is the most important one. I think I have that up there. Most important. If you're going to take something away from today's message, this is the most important bit. Remain true to the faith. Okay, so this is our day-to-day running orders. What do we do after we meet Christ? We stay put. We don't leave Jesus. We don't leave our Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to remain in Christ? Well, let's just sum up. The Bible says we're sinners. We need a Savior. We need someone to save us out of our sin. And so Jesus, because God loved us, he looked at us. We couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't fix our problems. And he said, I'm going to give them a Savior. And he sent Jesus to pay our death penalty, to live the life that we could not live, and then to die the death that we deserve. And all we have to do to receive that is say, thank you for dying for me. I'm sorry for what I've done. And I surrender to God. I surrender to you, Jesus. That's all we have to do. And so we did that. We put our hope and our trust in Jesus who has died for us. And what it means to remain is that we never move on from it. We never move on from the cross. We never say, now that I'm done with that, I can get on to other things like self-actualizing and having my own wonderful life apart from God. We never move from Jesus. We stay at the cross. If you've moved on from the cross today, you know the basics about Jesus, but that's not really important. Today's a moment to let your heart remember the love that God has for you. It is a daily love. Now imagine getting married to somebody and you say, okay, that was great, but now I also would like to sleep around with other individuals because I'm just curious about it. Maybe it'd be fun, right? And so you begin to do that. Can you do that? Not if you really love the person that you married. You remain with them, and we need to remain with Jesus. We need to never let the love of God be trivial. This is what we do day to day. Don't forget, you are loved. Jesus loves you. He wants you. And if we don't remain in Christ, then we can't do anything good. That's what the Bible says. John chapter 15, I'm just going to read a bit of this to you. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, same word, remain, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So I'm just going to say, I didn't write any of this. Okay, I didn't write any of this. This is God's word to us. And what he's saying is, you need to stay close to Jesus, who is your power and your life. And you need to receive all that love and let him change you. That is the way that you will grow, by staying near the cross. And he also says there are some people who look like they belong in the church, but they're not connected to God. They're not connected, and they wither because they don't remain with Christ. They wither, and they become useless, and they're just thrown in the fire. It's a terrible image. It's an important image. God loves you and wants to change you. You can't change any other way. Stay close to Jesus always. Stay close to Jesus always. All right, next, they endured. They endured. They say, through many hardships, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. It is necessary for us to go through many hardships and then enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say if we don't endure many hardships, we won't go to the kingdom of heaven. It says it's just necessary to go through this. What they're saying is, this is part and parcel of being a follower of Jesus. We're going to have to suffer a bit. That's how it works. It doesn't say it'll be easy. We'll just magically and without any suffering whatsoever be in the kingdom of God. It says actually it's going to be quite difficult, not because God wants us to suffer, but because that is the way of this broken world. And so I'm going to go back to my trying to get home. About 3 days ago, I went to the airport hoping to get on a flight and go home, and was told that my flight had been canceled. Nobody told me that it had been canceled in advance. Apparently, it had been canceled a while back. They just didn't bother to tell me anything. And so then they rescheduled me the next day, and it went from an eight-hour flight to a full day's travel, essentially, and a lot of I had a connecting flight. So they didn't pay for me to have a place or lodging, so I had to go back to my family, and then we took off the next day very early. And during the night, my ears have been getting kind of waxy, and I hope this doesn't gross anybody out. But I'm not embarrassed by it, so if you're not, I'm not, okay? Well, anyway, my ears were getting very waxy, and for some reason that night, they just totally blocked up. So that I woke up in the morning, and I just couldn't hear about half the things that people were saying at all. And I was really terrified that I wouldn't even be able to respond, and it was quite difficult. At all of the cash registers and all of the different people as they were talking to me, I was like, I'm sorry, can you repeat this? It was a miserable travel. Our son didn't sleep at all but the last 10 minutes. And then when we got to Heathrow, I don't know if you've ever been, but it's like a maze, actually. You know, they're like, can you find the cheese? We don't think so, you know. They have you go on one set of trains and then another set of trains, and then you just wait for... We had parking there, by the way. And just to get to the parking, we went through like a labyrinth of just messy stuff. It took 2 hours to get out. Now, about halfway through, they wanted us to stand outside and wait for the bus, and the bus was 45 minutes late. And Ezra woke up after 24 hours of not sleeping, and he began screaming, and he did not stop screaming for the next 50 minutes. Not just screaming, but throwing up a little bit, and just having, if you have a child that is really upset for a long time, you know that this is actually like the nuclear button here. You're just, this is a mess. This is a disaster. Everybody's looking at us like, what's wrong with you people that you would bring your child here? It's like, what else would we do here? And then somebody was telling me off. At one point, somebody was telling me off. And it was very interesting. And then we got in the car. We went and had the COVID test because somebody decided it'd be great to test us on both sides of the pond. So we're getting our second test. We're almost home. And Ezra actually just vomits over the entire back of the car. I couldn't believe it. It just was like almost home. And it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Listen, through many hard things, I needed to come so that I could share God's word with you this morning. Yeah. Okay, now these seem small in comparison to what some people go through, and they are. But everybody has different stuff that they have to go through in order to help us all keep growing and going towards God. It's great to be back here with you. Someone needs to hear this morning. You're going through a hardship. I know it seems like a lot. You're going to make it through. And God's love is with you the whole way. God's love is with you the whole way. It will be okay. In athletics, you know, are you not suffering in athletics? You're not winning. You have to suffer. It's the way of things. But the glory is so great. Jesus with us the whole time. It's just a moment. And the joy will never end. Finally, they replicate disciples. They replicate disciples. So Paul and Barnabas, it says that they appointed disciples. They fasted. They laid their hands on them. And they presented them to the Lord. That should all sound very familiar because that's exactly what people did for them 3 chapters ago when they were getting ready to do their mission trip. What were they doing? They were fasting. They were serving the Lord, and Paul, God said, separate these two out for the mission that I have. And so they laid hands on them, and they set them out. It's happening again. And so what has happened to Paul and Barnabas, they realize that this needs to happen for other people too. They're duplicating disciples. They're replicating disciples. They were disciples, right, and sent out, and now they're going to send some others. They're going to take them and say, you guys are the leaders in our absence. You help these people grow until you see us again. And so the first generation is going to turn and now have a second generation. Can you imagine if Paul and Barnabas, they just went once through, they announced the gospel, a bunch of people came to faith, and then they never showed up again? Well, that first generation would probably have some sort of faith. They would probably stick on in some sense of their faith, but not us. It would not be us here today. The way that we get to us is that generation raises disciples. And then that generation that was raised raises disciples. And so forth and so on. And so we're looking for in our church and just naturally in the growth of the kingdom of God, we need to make disciples that will then go and make disciples. Disciples making disciples. And so the question is, are you discipling anyone? Are you raising somebody up who's just a little lower than you are? Now, you may think, nobody's lower than me, right? But you're wrong, actually, okay? There's always somebody that you're just a little bit ahead of. And God would say, go and love that person and help them grow. Help them grow until they are ready to help somebody else grow. Replicating discipleship. This is how churches get very, very big. They're filled with people who are replicating disciples, helping people grow until they want to help somebody else grow, and the cycle continues, and we're all introducing each other into the grace and the love of God. So those are the steps of growth. Now, lastly, and just in passing, verse 26 through 28, they return having done the mission that God had for them completely, and they return to their home church. They announce the grace of God. I just want to point out one thing, which is they say of Paul, right? The door is open and the Gentiles have been reached, but then they say what? It was all God's doing, don't they? Isn't it? God has done this, right? It's all about God's love, God's grace working in us. We're not doing anything but receiving that love and reflecting that love. It's not about, as you said, it's not about earning heaven, is it? It's all about responding to that love. It's all about what God has done. Isn't that great? And isn't that freeing? You don't have to do anything out of your own strength. Please don't. Take in the love of God. Receive it. And then just reflect it. There's something amazing about a person who is truly happy because they are truly loved. And they just want other people to be loved too. God can do great things through that. And God will do great things for you if you will receive Jesus' love and his mercy and kindness in that way. So that's our message. Keep growing. Help others grow too. You've had a good start, have you? Great. Now let's go together day by day towards Jesus. Wonderful. So first point, are you growing in Jesus and are you helping others too? Perhaps this morning you're not growing in Jesus. Haven't been for a while. That is okay. But it's not what you want. You want to be near the one who loved you. And the very first step is just being honest with yourself. I don't feel close to Jesus. Well, Jesus is close to you. He's died for you. He loves you. And all you have to do is invite him freshly. God, come. Surround me. Remind me of what you've done. I want to be near you. I want to receive that grace again, the grace that's been there for me. And I want to live that grace out. I want to stop living for whatever it is you've wasted your time on that didn't pan out. And I want to live for the love that will never fade. Okay, just start with a prayer. God, here's where I'm at. Perhaps you're discipling nobody. Perhaps you're not helping anybody grow, okay? If you have a family, you're helping them, right? If you don't have a family and you don't see anybody around you, just start to pray. God, I'd like to help someone else to grow into your image. I'd like to help somebody else. Listen, meeting with somebody is a wonderful thing. You don't have to have an official line of what you go through. Here's something amazing. You can just sit with somebody and say, let's just read the Bible together. Well, what did you think of that? Well, what did you think of that? That's it. That could change somebody's life. You can do it. Help someone grow. Second thing, which of the specific steps of growth did you need to hear this morning? Which of the specific set of growth did you need to hear this morning? And so I have them behind. Which one of those, God is like, that's what I want you to hear this morning. Work on that one. And then just say, yeah, okay, Lord, I'll go with you in that. So those two things. I'm excited to hear what God will do. Let's pray and give ourselves to the Lord. Lord, we remember that this work is all yours, that you have sent Jesus, you have died for us, and yet you ask us to let you work in us, to let your love change us. And we ask now that you would grow us. We pray, Lord, maybe we haven't been following you as much as we ought to. We've been distracted by useless things in the world that lead nowhere. We just let go of those. We want to be close to you. We want your love to cover us. And Lord, will you help us to people who are strengthening and are being strengthened. Help us to encourage and to be encouraged in our walk. Help us always to remain in your love, to remain in the good news of Jesus Christ, not to wither away seeking after other things, to forget about the good thing that Jesus has done on the cross. Let us never forget. Lord, help us to replicate our faith. Lord, help us to endure the uncomfortable things we must go through. We thank you so much that the work is all yours. We ask that you would do it in us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.